I haven't been gone for 2 weeks. I've been... There's a difference between being gone and missing Sabbath. And I tell you, I missed you a lot. But the Lord was good, and I know He took good care of you too, and I'm glad for that. You know, there's a couple things I something has come up, and so I wasn't here for the preliminaries of the second service. And I don't know if anybody mentioned that Jim Sterling is leaving us. I think you knew that, maybe. This, I think, Jim, is your last Sabbath with us. And Marianne's already up in Northern California where they're moving to, and I just wanted to state publicly how much I will miss those two wonderful Christian people. It's a sad parting that we have, so those of you who know Jim and would like to convey your appreciation or your regrets or just tell him you love him, you can do that after the service, and he'll for sure bring the message back up north where they're moving to. It's in the Napa Valley, right? Napa Valley area, right? So Jim, bless you. We appreciate all you've done, and we will miss you dearly, 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 dearly. I'll try not to be emotional. Okay, I got something else to tell you. It's really neat too. I think it comes by a surprise too to two of our church members. I'm not sure they know about it, but you know, we take a religious liberties offering every, I think it's January. You know, religious liberties is incredibly important. And evidently our religious liberties team, which consists of George Phillips and Curtis Brownlow, do such a good job at it, you must agree with it, because I have a letter here from the Union Office of Seventh-day Adventists for Religious Liberties. And what they do is they give out 4 awards every year to churches that support religious liberties. And the Fallbrook Church has received the award for the highest per capita giving for a church between 250 and 500 members. And the way they're going to convey that to us is they're having a special luncheon on October 31st at the Mission Inn in Riverside, and inviting George Phillips and Curtis Brownlow to be there. Isn't that nice? And so they're going to give an award to them in honor of our church on the 31st. So George, you did not know, did you? Were you listening or were you outside, George? Oh man, I blew it. Curtis, did you know about this?
I didn't know about it.
Okay, you didn't know about it either. Neither one knew. Our religious liberties leaders did such a good job last year. They won an award for our church in the Pacific Union, had the highest per capita giving of any church between $250 and $500. 500 members. And I'll tell you, I'm proud of this. I tell you why. We're the only church that I know of that takes an interest in religious liberties and tries to convey the understanding to our thought leaders that they have a right to defend the Constitution and protect our religious freedoms. Amen? And so the Fallbrook Church, again, has won an award, and both George and Curtis will be honored at this banquet in Mission Inn on October 31st for lunch. And I get to go too. I'm glad. I like that. I suppose that means Pastor Mata'afa gets to go too. So we both get to go. That'll be exciting. So isn't that neat? So anyway, congratulations to the Lord for using our congregation, and for George and Curtis, who will represent us on the 31st at that luncheon, barring any work problems. So there. Michelle, didn't we do that? Oh, you didn't see, Pastor Mata'afa, did you mention the children's choir? Yeah, we mentioned the children's choir. You got that, what is that, the orange insert in the bulletin? Yeah, we want orange, purple, what color is that?
Red,
okay, that's red. Anyway, that's another exciting thing we're doing. We want children for the children's choir. So please, seriously consider that matter if you have a child and fill it out so we can have our children's choir. Okay? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bow before your awesome throne. And I bow to show my respect, my adoration, and ask for your help. For you know that I have no right to be here except as you grant it to me. And I pray your Spirit would guide the thoughts that you've given me, the words that you have told me to speak, so that Jesus would be clearly seen and heard, and healing as well as conviction may come from the Spirit of God's presence to your presence. So bless us now. Use me, Father, in spite of me, and thank you that you'll do it, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we separate for the foot washing service, there's four things that I need to accomplish with the congregation today. The first thing is this. For the last two Wednesday nights, I have sat right where Michelle Fisk sits. And two Wednesdays ago, Joe Atchison stood up here with a large screen there and the projector right there where we always put it, and he made the first presentation for the DVD Evangelism on the sermon that deals with Daniel, the second chapter. And I sat there where Michelle is, and my heart was touched by Joe's presentation, seeing the graphics and partially our video clips as well as pictures as he presented. You know, we sang three songs, had an opening prayer. He made the presentation. It was 8 o'clock and we were done. Last week I sat there as Dale Anderson made the second presentation from the DVD. Only he chose to stand right there. And we had the screen up there, the projector was there, the video clips along with the pictures. He preached the second sermon, and we had two songs, a prayer, and we were done by 8:05. And my heart was touched, and I sat there, and the Lord said to me, you've got to tell your church members just to come. Just to come. This Wednesday night, Ken Molitor will be presenting the third in the series of sermons right here at 7 o'clock. We'll sing a couple songs. We have an opening prayer. He will stand up here. He'll show the slides. He'll do the third sermon. And I pray that 40 people are in this auditorium on Wednesday. 40 people. Why? Because those 40 people will leave here and they'll say, I'm glad I came. It is so powerful. My heart was touched. This is not an agenda item. I have no hidden agenda here. I'm telling you, I thought, why are we doing this and just keeping the blessing to ourselves? And I know the struggle you have getting up and out of your house. Okay? Because every time we have a program here, I see how many come. But you know what? The Lord doesn't give up on any of us. We all have our problems. But I'll tell you, there's healing going on here on Wednesdays. I'm looking for 40 people. And if you come, you will see what I'm talking about. By the way, we have the speakers already picked for the next four Wednesdays. We're going to go through the whole series in preparation for inviting the community in February, March, and April. And Pastor Moffitt isn't preaching, I'm not preaching, and maybe even Dan Houghton isn't preaching. But Joe's going to preach, and Dale's going to preach, Jody is going to preach, Maisha's going to preach. People that sit right next to you in the pews are going to do it, and you should come and see what happens on Wednesday night to see how powerful it is. So, the first thing I want to accomplish before foot washing is I wanted you to know we'll be here on Wednesday night. 7 o'clock, we'll start singing. Ken Molitor will stand up here after the prayer is prayed, and before 8 o'clock, he'll be done, and your heart will be touched. And by the way, if you're young, it doesn't matter. I'm not just talking about old people. That's the first thing. Second thing I want to do, at the close of communion service, We always take a special offering as you leave at the door for our family emergency fund. And I want you to know we have two emergencies right now for two single mothers in our church. One is for $400 and one is for $800. And both of them were unavoidable and both of them were legitimate. And they're in a situation where they can't do anything about it. And so I want you to prayerfully consider, now that your tithe has been given to the Lord and your offering has been given to the Lord. By the way, first service I gave my tithe and offering. But this morning, knowing I was going to say this, knowing the Lord impressed me, I brought a special little offering that is going to go in an envelope at the end of the church service today just for the emergency fund that is not my tithe and it's not my offering. It's because we have some people in need. So if the Lord impresses you, I want you to know the need that we have. When communion service is over, we are going to have deacons at the door. And for any of you who would like to put that in, by the way, if you have time to think, you can put it in the tithe envelope and mark it emergency fund. It's tithe deductible. If you just put cash in, then it's going to go right to what I just told you to. The emergency fund anyway. So that's the second thing I wanted to share with you before we had our foot washing. The third thing I want to share with you is, turn with me if you would to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and let's look at the communion service. 1 Corinthians, I want to invite everybody to take your Bible. Open it up to 1 Corinthians. Notice if you didn't bring one, there is a Bible in the back of the pew right in front of you. It is there for the purpose of you to have the scriptures. I'd like you to read along with me. We're going to be looking at a familiar passage of scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians. It is chapter 11. It starts with verse 23. I want the children to take the Bible. I want them to open up the Bible, the Word of God. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. And when you open up your Bibles and have it in front of you, that power will be translated to you from the Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit from the Lord. So you have 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. I want to give everybody a chance to turn there as we do the third thing that we need to do, the Lord wanted us to do before we have the foot washing. You ready? Verse 23. Here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Here we have the New Testament version of the communion service according to Paul. And I want you to look at verse 23 as we ponder a profound question this morning before the foot washing service. Notice that the preeminent New Testament scholar Paul told us in verse 23, "What I received from the Lord, I'm now giving it to you." See? I got something from the Lord and I'm now going to give it to you. And by the way, where did this come from? The Lord. Hello? Everybody there? It came from the Lord. And he said, "Now I'm going to give it to you." You know, and right away in my mind, I have a vision of Jesus on the mount there when all the crowd, the huge, massive crowd, maybe 20,000 people were hungry, and the disciples were wondering what we're going to do with this crowd and no food. And Jesus said, "Tell them to sit down." And then Jesus took the few loaves and the few fishes he had, and he lifted his eyes to heaven, and he prayed a blessing upon them. And then you remember what he did? He reached into the basket, he took out some bread, he gave it to Peter, and he said, "Peter, take it to the people." And he did the same to John. "John, take it to the people." And he did it to James. "James, take it to the people." And right now, if you were, you had one of those minds, analytical minds, you start adding up and say, when we get beyond seven here, there's not going to be any more loaves. But then the eighth disciple was called, and the ninth disciple was called, and the tenth disciple was called. And by the way, by that time, Peter was back. And so the 11th disciple was sent out, and now John was back. The 12th disciple was sent out, and James was back, and Jesus reached in and handed Peter some more, and Peter took off, and on it went and went and went until 20,000 people ate from two small, five loaves and two fishes. And Paul says, "I received this from the Lord, and I now give it to you." On the communion service. And look what he said. This has always puzzled me. "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." And for the life of me, I cannot figure out why Paul said, "I received from the Lord that which I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed." I mean, isn't communion all about the crucifixion, folks? Isn't communion about the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus? Doesn't it make sense to you, like it would to me, that Paul should have said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night before he was crucified, he took bread"? That makes sense to me. How about you? Is there something wrong with me? But Paul says, instead of the cross of Calvary or his suffering in Gethsemane and the agony he experienced, he refers to the betrayal. So the Lord leads my mind, and suddenly I have some thoughts that I'd like to share with you as we prepare for the foot washing, and that is, Paul had a distinct purpose for wording it the way he did when he wrote this. "I received this from the Lord, and I'm going to give it to you, that in the night he was betrayed," we see that Jesus' total focus was on the welfare of his disciples, not on himself. Now, at what time in Jesus' life could we excuse him for thinking about himself? But just before the crucifixion, wouldn't you think? But Paul doesn't say that. He says, in the night he was betrayed, folks, we see that Jesus was thinking about even his betrayer. For a short while before he broke the bread and before he poured the wine and handed it out, he knelt down at Judas's very feet, and with sincere love and compassion, he washed those feet, and the Bible says he knew who was about to betray him and that he was going to be betrayed. And so as we prepare for the foot washing today, the third thing I want to accomplish is that you have full assurance that Jesus cares more about you than he does himself. Isn't that wonderful news, folks? Yeah. Now I see why Paul worded it that way. And you know, he's carrying the cross of Calvary, and the most graphic images that we may have of that might come from the movie Ben-Hur. And we see that in great agony, he falls all over on the ground because he has lost so much blood, has no food to eat, and have been up for so long that his strength is just about gone. He can't bear his own cross. And at one point, he stops in this whole scene and says, "Weep not for me. Weep not for me." What was Jesus doing? Thinking of the people who were watching his agony. Right? And then he gets there, and they drive the nails in his hands. And so what does Jesus say? "Ouch!" Or, "Why am I here?" Or, "I'll get you people, you watch." He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He's thinking of them, not of himself. And then, just before he dies, he says, John, do you see my mother? I want you to take care of her, man. That's my mother. I want you to make sure she has a home. I want you to be her advocate. See, I'm her only son, and I'm the one that will support her, and I can't trust my stepbrothers. I want you to take care of her for me. What yours is hers, and what's hers is yours, John. And oh yes, a common criminal who is despised and hated by the community said, Jesus, remember me. Can you see Jesus turning to his right and saying, hey, I've got my own problems. And didn't we have this discussion sometime previous to this time? You didn't get the point. Jesus didn't say that, did he? He said, you'll be in my kingdom. Thinking of somebody else instead of himself. So as we participate in the communion service, my friends, I want you to be absolutely sure, as the third thing we're going to accomplish before foot washing, is that you are the focus of Jesus' attention. You are important to him. He is totally committed to you. Totally committed to you. Now, one other thing as I move to the fourth and final thing before we dismiss for communion, for foot washing. And by the way, children, you do have a children's story. The children's story is during the foot washing, right up here. Pastor Mata Afa will be doing a story for you. We did not forget you. You are very important. But there's one more thing we need to do. The one thing that could keep the communion service from being as blessed as God intends it to be when we come back here from the foot washing, that in order to allow the Spirit to be poured out in a more dramatic way, the one thing that needs to be done is we must respond to the way Paul wrote this when he said, I give to you what God gave to me on the night he was betrayed. And we suddenly realize that we are number one in God's eyes, that we want to respond in kind. And the only way to do that is to repent. The fourth thing, repent. Let me tell you of what. Number one, for the sins that you have been and are committing in total rebellion against God, that you know it's wrong, but you like it and you're doing it. That's a sin. There's another sin that needs to be repented of. That's called ignorance. Do you know you're committing sins you don't even know? Do you know that I'm committing sins that I don't even know about? For no one can have the full vision of sin like God the Father has. We are human. Till the Spirit takes total possession of our lives, we will do things that we don't even know is sin. They need to be repented of. Number three. There's the sins that we are struggling with. We don't want to do them, but we are. We're fighting, but we give in. And those sins need to be repented. You know, there's no other category. I can't put you in a fourth or fifth or sixth category. That's it. And so here's what I want to do. I want to model, and I want to experience, and I want to practice. I'm going to invite you to kneel where you're comfortable and remain seated where you're not. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer in which during the prayer I will pause for you to do some of these things. And let's clear the way for the Spirit to be poured out on this communion service. Let's understand when we're done and we go to serve one another in the foot washing that we are free from sin because we've confessed it and that we're now serving a brother or a sister to let them know that we love them and we want them to be clean too, that we're playing the part of Jesus Christ. So let's do it. Because there's a lot of children here, I won't make it long, but I'm going to give you opportunity during the prayer to speak in your head to God privately. And let's work through this thing. So let's take the attitude of prayer right now. Father, the two things that need to be accomplished first in this prayer is you must guide my mind so that it will cover all the points efficiently and effectively that you want accomplished. And secondly, we now want privacy with you. We want Satan to be pushed farther back. We want to know that we're just alone with you so that we can convey in our minds whatever we want to, even though Satan cannot read our mind. We want to be alone. The first thing we want to do is praise you, Lord. You are so good. So I'm going to pause so that each person in their mind can praise you right now. Oh, Lord, yes, I thank you. You reminded me before I ended, thank you, that this prayer is for the children, too. They right now in their mind can say praises to Jesus, too. And now, Lord, we want to tell you the truth. We have failed. And we want to confess our sins so we can be clean. In fact, Lord, we not only want to confess our sins, but we want you to reveal anything we may need to take care of during, before, or after the foot washing communion service so that we can be right with you. For example, Lord, you know we all have rebellion in our heart. There's things we're doing we know we shouldn't. We want to repent of those. Lord, there are those things that we don't know are wrong and we're doing, and we want you to forgive us for those. And then, Lord, there are those things that we're struggling with that we really don't want to do, but we still every once in a while give in. So now, Father, I'm going to pause so that each person can pray a prayer of forgiveness to you in whatever area your Spirit leads them to think about. Lord, help us to be specific. Lord, if there's something we forgot or overlooked, we pray that you would tell us right now so we can confess it. Is there anything else, Lord? Yes, and I know, Lord, that you may deal with some of these issues after we're done because of our time constraints. But we give you permission to continue this prayer even after we get off our knees and we complete our communion service so that we can finalize whatever needs to be finalized. And now, Lord, we want to praise you for forgiveness. Can we say amen to that? The Bible says when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and praise God to also cleanse us. Lord, thank you for taking this sin, take the guilt, and now give us the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome our sin. Give us that cleansing and power we need, Father. And perhaps each person right now needs to or wants to convey that to you as I pause again. Oh, Lord, hallelujah for forgiveness. Thank you for what you've done. And now, Lord, I want to pray as I pause again that each person can express to you what they would like you to do for them. So I'm going to pause right now so that each person can do that, including the children. What would you like Jesus to do for you? Oh, Lord, thank you so much that we can come to you with whatever concerns us, and it's important to you too. and that we could bring it to you and it'll make a difference. Thank you for that also. And now, Lord, as I close, there's one bit of business more that we need to transact with you in our prayer, and that is, who would you like us to wash our feet with? I want you to reveal to each person who that is as I pause now and they ask you, who should I serve? Lord, maybe it's someone we've offended and we need to make things right, if it's male to male or female to female or husband to wife. Help us to get rid of animosities. Help us to serve each other in love and compassion. Have you revealed, Lord, to each person who you want them to serve? We want your spirit to be unhindered by our humanness, Lord. So we're so glad that you will cooperate with us in our deep desperation. And in answer to our prayer, you will help us now. We want to be a loving church just the way Jesus was. I mean, the scribes and Pharisees said, you hang around sinners and you eat with them. You were accused of that, Lord. We want people to feel welcomed here. The only way they're going to feel welcomed if Jesus is here, and that we're like Jesus and not like ourselves. So do this for us now. And when we come back, Lord, to take those emblems, may we be free from the chains and the bonds of sin and guilt and shame. And may we just have a peace in our heart and even in our eyes that we can partake and know that our God has heard us. He has forgiven us, and that He will help us as we go from here to continue the battle until you come. So thank you so much for hearing this prayer, and I just pause for a second for each person to thank you themselves. Why? Because we know you've answered, because we have come in our utter great need. And we prayed in the name, the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. God bless you. At this time, we'd like to invite anyone, even if you're a visitor and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to partake with us in this. The foot washing will be thus. The couples, the husbands and wives who would like to serve, the families that would like to have communion together, they meet in the fellowship hall. And you can go right in there and serve each other. For the ladies that would like to serve, ladies, we ask you to go straight out the door and continue to walk straight. And on your left, one of the rooms there you will see is for the ladies. Gentlemen, you walk straight out of the door. You take a left right away and then go on the other side of the building and you'll see the door where the men are taking part. So at this time, I want to dismiss you with the blessing of the Lord as we serve one another in the foot washing service.